Okay, so it is a little bit late in the week to discuss Parshas Haman because we know that all the emails were on Tuesday to say Parshas Haman as a segula. So I want to talk about when one does or does not say Parshas Haman and what are we supposed to get out of it, and a bit of machshava to tie in just to the parsha of how we're supposed to relate to, you know, nowadays in our own Avodas Hashem, and to understand the role of the man and speaking about the man. The only mention of any real source about reciting Parshas Haman on the Tuesday of Parshas Beshalach is in the name of Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimanov. So I wrote over here from a very popular luach that's published in Eretz Yisrael called the Luach Dvar Beito. So the author explains as follows. He says, B'Yalkut Menachem, Madura Tavshin Nun Aleph, the one printed in 1991, in the Hosaf in the Meluim on page Reish Sadi Aleph, under the category of Parnasa, it brings the name of Rav Shalom of Strupkov, who would always say in the name of Rav Menachem Mendel Rimanov to read today, the Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach, as Parshas Haman, Shnai Mechir V'Echad Targum, that is the skula for Parnasa. It's true in Shulchan Aruch, it's Paskin to say every single day, which we'll talk about in a moment. And he says, Kasav Shubachol Yom Gimel, Roy Lomar is Parshas Haman. And so the Shevet Musar brings the source that you should say every Tuesday the Parshas Haman. He brings such a source there as well. That Tuesday, because that's the day of Nivru Hatzmachim V'Haperos, the day of growth, and I guess of Parnasa, that's why Tuesday was chosen. And he says, look in the Torah Shleiman, Parshas Peshalach, Ulaizu Achein Haisa Shmua HaMikoris, the Krobium Gimel, Me Parshas Peshalach, as Parshas Haman. Ve'ein Dai Bamir Ba'alma, it's not enough just to say it. Elishius Bonin Mahu Omer V'Yakrin Flos, you can't just daven it up. You have to think about what the man represents, that Hashem gives us what we need, and Hashem provides for us. V'yamin Shekol Mezenosa Boim Vashkach HaPratis, and each person should understand that all of his mizonos, all of his food comes through Hashem washing them, as it says, "V'lo hadif marbe v'memad lo hichsir." No one can take more, no one can take less. Lo rosh ein ribo hishtadlus moa b'uma. That at a certain point, you know, more hishtadlus than what the norm is not going to help you make more money and make you have more pornasa. So that is the source for Menachem Mendel Rimanov. I mean, piha shmua, it's not even written anywhere, but this gets everybody very excited every year by the week of Parshas B'Shalach, and there's not so much more to say about it than that. It works, it doesn't work, it's not so clear. Let's talk about what the Shulchan Aruch does say. The Tur, in the very first Siman in Or HaChaim, in Siman Aleph, writes that it's a good thing to say the Parshas Haman, the Parsha that speaks about the falling of the man. So the Beis Yosef says it's good to say the Parshas Haman every day because it will cause a person to believe that all of his food comes through Hashkacha. Meaning, it's not a segula. It's a statement of emuna that one reminds and trains themselves to believe that everything comes from Hashem. And this is Said Lahalach in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Aleph in Sif Hei. So the Tashbeit Sakata, the Tashbeit is the Talmud of the Maram, he quotes a Yerushalmi that anyone who says Parshas Haman can be assured that his food will be taken care of. Yerushalmi kala omer Parshas Haman b'chol yom, muvtachu shalo yisma'atu mizonosav, he will not be lacking in his mizonos. Vaniya Raven, I will guarantee on that, says the Tashbates. The idea is also found in the Smack, Rav Moshe Kutzi, as well, in his Sefer. The Smack brings that as well. So the Smack brings this idea as well, that the person says it every single day. But what's the earliest mention we have of saying Parshas Haman? That's in the Sefer HaManig. The Sefer HaManig writes in Hilchos Shabbos. Yerushalmi says that Kol Omer Parshas Haman B'chol Yom is Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba, B'Shein Mezonosav Nechsar, he won't lack anything. That's really the first three Shonim. Now the Prisha cites the... Sorry?
Approximately what year was that?
The Sefer HaManig is around the year 1200 or so. In the 1200s.
Okay.
So the Prisha cites the Maharshal. The Maharshal says the Gemara is the Yerushalmi's Maseches Brachos. So I've quoted this Yerushalmi for the last 3 minutes, but I haven't shown it to you. Because Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau points out, we don't have this Yerushalmi anywhere. We have no edition of the Yerushalmi that says that if you say the Parshas Haman, you'll be given, you know, all of your Parnasa. So Rav Menachem Kosher writes in the Torah Shlema, he thinks that Yerushalmi does not mean the Talmud Yerushalmi, but it means a medrash that came from Eretz Yisrael. A medrash Eretz Yisrael that was called Yerushalmi that said such a thing. Again, we don't have this Yerushalmi or this medrash extant anymore, but this is what we do have. There is also a statement of Rabbeinu Bach. Rabbeinu Bach in this week's Parsha says that he has a Kabbalah B'yad Chachamim. He has a tradition as well. So it could be that this medrash that we no longer have is the source of this idea in the B'Shem Yerushalmi, that one who says Parshas Haman every single day is meant to have bitachon, that their parnasa comes from Hashem. Let's look here in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, Uparshas Haman, Kadesh Yamin, Shechol Mizonosav, Boin, Bashkacha Pratis. A person should understand that all of his mizonos comes with Hashkacha Pratis, that Hashem is in charge of your parnasa. Kadechsev, Hamar Belo Hedif, Mamet Lo Hechsir, Lahorosh in Ribu, Hishtadlos Moel Buma. Again, the Chafetz Chaim drilling home this point, that a person needs to come to understand that more hishtalos than the norm is not going to give you more parnasa. A person has to do what is the norm within their field to make a living, but more than that's not going to help. Just like gathering more food is not going to give a person more man. So that's mahalach number one. Mahalach number one is hashkacha. The Parshas Haman is meant to teach us hashkacha pratis and to know that Hashem is in charge. I want to look at a different understanding of what Parshas Haman is supposed to do. Yeah.
Quick question though. It seems like in the language of the Torah, all he's saying is that Parshas Haman is you like to remind you to have a mitzvah or something more, like something extra.
Correct. He's not saying, correct. He's saying that it's not a segula. He's saying it's a act of avodas Hashem. The Rishonim seem to be saying muftach lo, that there's some sort of bitachon. This segues into the Gra. So the Bir HaGra on this sif in Shulchan Aruch, he cites three Mamari Chazal. Now, to read the Bir HaGra on its own is not going to help us. So what I brought for you is from the Bir Chasal. The Bir Chasal is an elucidation of the Gra, where Rakov opened up what the Gra is trying to say. So let's read through the Bir Chasal with the Gra to see how the Gra understands it. He says, "Beperek baster de yuma ayin vavam alef." Shalu Talmidav es Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. They asked the Talmidim asked Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, "Bipnei ma lo yered lahem li Yisrael man pam echas b'shana?" Why didn't Hashem just make it rain man once a year, and they would, go on a Costco run, taking all the man they would need, and they would be good? So Amar le, Amshel lechem mashal. Let me give you an example. Lamah davar doma, lamelech baser v'dam, a king. Af Yisrael mishiyesh lo dalid v'hei banim. Hayadoig v'omer Hashem lo yered mina malamachav v'nimsu kulan mesim b'rav v'nimsu kulan mechavnim es libam lavim shma shemaim. Meaning, it's an act of bitachon. The point of the man and the way it fell, says the Gra, was to teach them to rely that even though right now my cupboards are bare because I finished the food for the night, tomorrow morning the food will come. Brings our idea here is the Damasik Leizer says that it's meant to be mechavanas and davening. Source number two, the Gemara in Sota Memches. Titanya Rabbi Yezer Hagadol Omer, Kol Mishiyesh Lo Pas Besalo, whoever has bread in the basket, Va'omer Ma Ochel Lamachar, what will I eat tomorrow? Eino Ella Mikatne Emuna. You have very little Emuna. Ulahachi Maskir Parshas Man, Delohay Alehem Gamkein El Yom Echad. The Jewish people also, with their man, only had food for that day. Ve'aminu Bashem, and they trusted in Hashem. Ve'isku B'Torah, and they learned His Torah. K'mokeina Nachnu B'tuchin Bashem V'namin Bo v'hu yesh chashivenu zos letzaka. We also have to be taught, have bitach on Hashem, and trust that what we need is going to come. Finally, says the Gra, the Michelta, Shibashash Amar Yirmiyahu Yisrael mipnei ma ein atam oskim b'Torah. Yirmiyahu Navi asked the Jewish people, "Why aren't you learning Torah?" And Amar Leh, they said to him, "B'man nisparnes, how are we going to make a parnasa? We don't have time to learn Torah." Hotzi lahem etzlucha shaman. Yirmiyahu brought out the famous container of the man. And Amar Leh, Hadora Tamro Devarzeh, do you see this? Do you see what your grandparents did? Hashem provided for them. Don't tell me you can't learn Torah. Have bitachon, go and learn, and Hashem will help you make a parnas as well. Avaseichem sheva oskim b'Torah, ro kama nisparnasu, afatam im sisasku b'Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meparnaschem mizeh. And that's what the Gra says. So it's clear from the Gra that he's focusing on a different aspect of the man. from the sources that he brings, he's highlighting the fact that a person's parnasa comes from bitachon Hashem. He's not focusing on the hashkacha pratzis aspect. He's focusing on our bitachon. The man that fell every day in the midbar was based on the koach habitachon of the Jewish people. All three of these sources are understood to be saying that parnasa is provided based on the bitachon that Klal Yisrael had in each situation, and therefore the Gra is telling us that a person recites the Parshas Haman to remind him not just that everything comes from Hashem, that your bitachon will dictate how much parnasa that you will have. But the pasuk says, "Yiruas Hashem kedoshav, kein machzer li'reiav." In the zechus of one's bitachon, you won't lack anything. That's what the Gra is highlighting here. So we see the Parshas Haman is meant to either focus us on one of two things, either the hashkach of a Kaddish Baruch Hu running the world, or the relationship between our bitachon and making a parnasa. What's important to highlight is that the recitation of Parshas Haman is not brought in the Shulchan Aruch as a skula, but rather it's an exercise and it's a reinforcement in hashkacha and bitachon. I would say that those organizations that turn Parshas Haman into a magical segula, it's a disservice to Klal Yisrael. That's not what it's supposed to do. To say Parshas Haman once a year and think everything's going to be good is not what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. What the Shulchan Aruch is saying is it's an ex every single day a person should be reading the Parsha of the Man in order to remind themselves, to build this into their amunah, to develop themselves to a point where they're able to live in such a level. Not
Find that
everyone,
mutual.
yeah.
That's not mutual. But I feel like the Gra is not making a claim that like the Tachan is mutually exclusive from Hashgacha Prophets.
No.
You believe that Hashgacha.
Correct. No, I don't think so. Correct. I don't think he's saying it. I think he's just focusing in a different aspect. Whereas the Mishnah and the Beis Yosef are focusing on Hashgacha Pratzis, I think the Vilna Gaon is focusing more on Bitachon. Not everyone is such a fan of saying Parshas Haman every single day. I think we could probably take a poll of people. I would probably say that most people don't say Parshas Haman every day, even though it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So why is that? The Arizal in the Hakdamah to the Shaar HaKavanah says that the minhag is not to say Parshas Haman. And the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Chav Daled says this is why. He says, Ava al Parshas Haman sheshmitu liyadati tam. I don't fully understand why the Siddurim don't print Parshas Haman at the beginning of davening. Ach be'emes lo huskra Parshas Haman b'shas. Honestly, Parshas Haman is not even mentioned in the Gemara. Some people cite Yerushalmi and Brachos, but I didn't find it in the Yerushalmi. Why is it that we are not so into reciting Parshas Haman? Because honestly, the episode of the Man is not such a warm and fuzzy part of Jewish history, because it's a lot of complaining and a lot of moaning and a lot of problems. I heard your complaints. I heard the complaints of the Jewish people. And they started to speak Lashon Hara about the man. We only have this terrible man and it's not good. They should have asked for mercy. The Jewish people just stood there and leveled complaints against me.
I can't even.
Sorry? So, Vod Armin and Sham, Ipne Malo, Amru Shir Alaman. How come we didn't sing Shira to thank Hashem for the man? Shayumot Sim Divrei Tiflis Alaman. Because they were saying not nice things about the man. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Eini Mevakesh Lo Terumah Seichem Velo Kilu Seichem. I don't need your complaints. I don't need your praises. I'm good. And therefore, we never really establish the Parsha of Man for the Tzibur because the Man does have a part of the story that is not so positive for the Jewish people. Kein nir l'fi anias daiti, says the Aruch HaShulchan in his opinion. Rav Yaakov Emden in his Siddur says that for this reason, Parshas Haman should not be printed in the Siddurim. Now look at the Makor Chaim. The Makor Chaim, Rav Yair Bachrach, the author of the Chavos Yair, he writes that you shouldn't say Parshas Haman before davening because you shouldn't make bakashos. He says, Bahagos Yesh Nochlin. The Yesh Nochlin is the father of the Shlah. We have the segula of reciting it as a segula. That he says it's good to say it at night because the pasuk of Mishlei says B'layla titen teref. At night we get our parnasa. Masha'in kein parshas akedah hayanir la'omra b'yom. Parshas akedah during the daytime. Mikomakom nidpas b'chol asfarim parshas akedah tchil. But nevertheless, parshas akedah is printed in the beginning of davening. V'yesh tam nachon ki tchila magbir mechesed ala pachad v'achakach yesh levakesh mazun k'inyan hazaras olim b'chesto. It's not appropriate, he says, to make bakashos for parnasa before davening. First you got to praise Hashem, psukim zimrush from Esrei, then you make bakashos. V'yishlomar od, she'afal pisha omer in parshas aman lefnei tefilaso, harei gam ashrei d'isbe posecha sedecha omer lefnei tefila. Ah, but we say ashrei before Shemar Esrei, and we say posecha sedecha maspil l'chol ha'rasan, Hashem provides us for what we need. But we won't make a direct request for food, lifnei tefilaso. As the Zohar writes in Parshas Pinchas, vuva gam betamei ha-mitzos, the rakanti, the kasavti zos, lefi sharisi, besefer, knaf rananim. I saw in the book knaf rananim, ubashar chiburim shenipas bakashas mazon sarichos nei parsaman. Because I have these very significant requests of food and parnasa before the parsha saman. So this is the reason, this is the limud zchus, and why so many Jewish people don't recite Parsha Samad at all, or even before davening. Two more points. I want to talk about the idea of some people making a special Parsha Saman that they put on a klaf. You might see this sometimes. A person pulls out a nice, beautiful klaf written by a sofer, a Parsha Saman. It's not such a Pasha thing. The Yafel Alev writes in Sifkatan Chaf Dalad, based on the Sefer Chassidim, that a person should not ask for his own physical needs before the requests of all these physical things. So, not the Yafel Alev. The Kaf HaChaim writes, and the Ruach Haim as well, who says that there's a school to have the Pitom HaKetores written on a klaf. This is cited in many Sfarim as well, that it should be put on a klaf. But it also raises a serious question, because the beginning of the Pitom HaKetores says, Kach Lecha Samim. Pitom HaKetores is not just a Gemara and a Medrash, it's also a Pasuk of Kach Lecha Samim. Take these, take these spices. The halacha is that one may not write down Tanakh on a klaf, pieces of Tanakh on a klaf. If you're writing sections of Tanakh, you are only allowed to write an entire work or an entire chumash. This is brought halacha by the Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah in Perek Zayin. Mutter lichtov haTorah kol chumash v'chumash b'fnei asmo. You can write a chumash of Sefer Shmos on its own. Ve'ein behen kedusha Sefer Torah. It doesn't have kedusha Sefer Torah, but it does have holiness. Aval lo yichtov megillah, but you should never write only a section b'fnei asma sheba parshios, meaning a section of parshios. Being kosin megillah latinok l'samba, you should not write on a klaf a section of Torah for a child to learn from. Vim daitu lahashem alei chumash mutar. If I'm going to finish it later off as a full chumash, that's okay. But one is not allowed to write that. That is a halacha paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Yerodea in Simen Reish Pei Gimel. And the Shach writes that many are leaning to write sections of Tanakh on klaf nowadays. It is true, like the Rif and the Mordechai are lenient, because there's a lot of shichacha, a lot of forgetting in the world. And Esa Sos Hashem, if you're a Torah Sach, we have to write Tanakh down. Meaning, without writing down sections of the Torah, we would forget the Torah. And this is what the Taz writes in the name of the Bach. But this Heter is only for learning Torah, and not for decorations, not for schools. The Chayadim writes in Kuf Mem Vav, Aser lachkok pasuk besukas teshu al dalas v'chiyot zibo. You cannot write a pasuk of besukos teshu shivas yamim on like a gourd or like a pumpkin for your sukkah. Sheyavlu de bizayin is going to come to be ruined. V'o de laharbe poskim aser lachtov psukim ela dafka chumashalim. According to many poskim, you can't just write stamp psukim if you're not learning, just to write them for decoration. V'afal gav denog in heter, even though we are lenient, it's only for learning. But it's not necessary. You can't just write Pesukim down because. The Mishavur writes this Lahalachim Simen Tafresh Laman Ches Behechos Sukkah. The Pisrei Tshuva in Yeredeya cites the Tashbates, who completely allows this. But it's not clear how the Tashbates pushes aside all of Gedolia Poskim, who are Machmer, to not write down Pesukim if it's not for learning. This is the Aruch HaShulchan who's Machmer, the Tzaku Mishpat, and therefore, when one can avoid writing down stam sections of Tanakh for decorations or skulos, it should be avoided. And it seems it's 100% incorrect to write down the Parshas Haman on a klaf, just stam, just for decorations. I would also call into question, like, an Eishes Chayil on klaf, things like that. If it's not lehislamed bav, it's not for learning, and it's just a decoration, it's not Kavod HaTorah. The Torah is not a decoration. The Torah is not a segula. The Torah is meant for learning, and that is the way it's supposed to be used.
But just clarify, are you referring just to what's written on cloth or
Okay,
even on?
so definitely a klaf is a big issue, that's for sure. And even if it's totally unnecessary, just stop trying to write down psukim for decoration also should be avoided as well. Okay, so I want to end.
I would
Yeah.
say the question is, like, is reading parts of someone considered learning or not? So perhaps, like, I'm thinking, A is what people say learning. If not, is it a form of tefillah, and therefore you're allowed to write it on the cloth.
I feel like I can recite Parshas Haman just as well from a Siddur or a Chumash, from a Klaf. I don't think it's enhancing,
Yeah. Are
the
you
recitation.
confident?
I don't know. I'm not so fancy.
Hold on. You promise that you defend the practice of printing cloth.
Say again?
You said that you would defend the practice of practicing on cloth.
I said I would speak about the
Meaning?
practice. I don't have such a defense. I don't have such a defense. I don't understand it so much. There's a beautiful piece that Rav Schechter brings from Rabbi Soloveitchik. We'll just end with this, just relate to the Parsha, another twist on what Parshas Haman is supposed to teach us. Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote an essay in 1943. Rav Schechter brings in Divrei HaRav. And Rabbi Soloveitchik identifies two different economic models that the people experienced in the desert, that of the Mun and that of the Slav. What's the difference between the Mun and the Slav? The Mun, as described by the Torah, epitomizes an economic ideal in which everyone receives what he needs and easily recognizes Hashem's hands in the process. That's clear from the Psukim, the gathering of the Omer, some more, some less, each man takes for his own tent. That's Pashut. There was obviously no need for cutthroat capitalism, writes the Rav, because greater efforts failed to gather more money. You don't have to be more shrewd or outdo the other guy. It's complemented by Shabbos. That's why Shabbos and the Mun are connected, which is also first presented there. Together, Shabbos and the Mun represent an economy that sees the Yad Hashem in its sustenance and can allow for a holy day that's dedicated to Ruchnius to sanctify all the Gashmius of the week. The Mun and Shabbos fit together. And in order to perpetuate this mindset in Eretz Yisrael, that's why the Jewish people were commanded to remember the periods that they ate the Mun. That's why there's a mitzvah of Zecher Laman, to remember the Mun in the beginning of Dvarim. And many Jews, says the Rav, recite the piece from Shmos every morning. The Inyan of Parshas Haman, says the Rav, is to encapsulate this Jewish economic ethic. In view of this significance, he also explains why Moshe wrote the first bracha of benching when the Mun fell. Because it's all tied together. It's meant to remind us how a Jew acts in business. A Jew acts with Derech Eretz. He doesn't try to cut down the other person. He respects the other person's business. This is the message of the Mun, where a person knows everything comes from Hashem. And says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the reason why those people recite Parshas Haman every single morning is to remind them before they go to work of the Jewish business ethic of respecting each person, no more, no less, and make sure they act properly in business. And he writes that this is a quote from the Festival of Freedom. He says that a transcendental revelational experience, with the exception of a few alienating events, the Israelites in the wilderness were free from daily cares and worries. They ate their bread not by the seat of their brow, but in the knowledge that God was with them. There was no need to till, plant, watch, and reap. On the other hand, when the people protested about the Mun, so Hashem brought them quail, and they were overcome by desire. They gathered as much as they could. They had a plague, and they were hoarding a false sense of security. And that's rejected by the Torah. It's clear from the episode of the Slav that Hashem is unhappy with it. And therefore, those psukim, says the Rav, describe the greed and the craze in hoarding and a terrible economic model. How people should not act when it comes to business. So each person looks to overemphasize himself and his own self-idealization. And the greedy gathering of the Slav, said Rabbi Soloveitchik, is the gathering of an economy that plays by the rules of the sea, where the big fish swallows the small one, everything is permitted in the name of acquisition, and it's a destructive economic ethic that's antithetical to the Torah. So the Parshas Haman and the recitation of the Parshas Haman is meant to remind a Jew how to behave in economics, how to behave in business, as opposed to the Slav, which is antithetical to how a Jew is supposed to behave. Okay, we'll stop here.